Welcome to Let's Talk About Gay Stuff. Woohoo! We're the podcast where we talk about gay stuff and discuss LGBTQ plus history. We are Thomas.
And Chris.
Spencer.
Welcome to the podcast, Spencer. It's good to have you.
It's good to be back.
It is good to have you.
You guys have changed things around since I've been here last.
You know, more wine.
Light decorating.
Is that what you call this?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I like what you've done with the place. The bottles are great. Welcome. Yes, it's a trio of gays here. We're going to talk about some LGBTQ plus history. We have a special interview with Outsmart Magazine's Jack Berger. Outsmart Magazine is Houston's LGBTQ magazine, and we brought Jack on to discuss the business of LGBTQ plus magazines, but really also the importance of these magazines in LGBTQ plus history. Like, these have long, as we'll talk about in the interview, started off as like one page, like newsletters that went out to the community under like the dark of night. And now, you know, we'll talk with Jack. It's like the Pride magazine, Pride edition,
hundreds of pages,
200 plus pages in 2019. So we've come a long way. So we'll talk more.
You did what?
Hello. With Jack in a bit. But hey, if you're listening this far in, then you must really like us. And so don't forget to subscribe so you can hear future episodes. You can visit our website and letstalkaboutgaystuff.com, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Talk About Gay Stuff, and on Twitter at Talk Gay Stuff. Hey, why do you want to do that? Because we give you a daily dose of LGBTQ plus history, and occasionally our social media person will put our smiling faces on our social media panels.
Occasionally. And there I am.
And there I am. And just like that. Are you watching? Is anyone watching And Just Like That? I know this was after your generation, so it's not like you guys are like, well, who is Sarah Jessica? What is her? Sarah Jessica Parker. Sarah Jessica Geller?
She's got three first names. Oh.
Sex in the City.
She really does.
It's a boy's name, though.
Parker can be a girl's name.
Parker Posey. I don't know who Parker Posey is either. No. Oh, gosh. Oh, whoa.
Oh, no.
I miss Kendall and Tony.
Who?
Aww.
The old queens.
The old queens.
That we have set off into the pasture. You know what happens when, you know, old queens, they get old.
Right? You take them out to the pasture. Yeah, and then they never come back.
Mm-hmm. They go to frolic and gallivant, right?
Yes, they have a good old time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Is that what they do out there?
I was nervous.
Is that what they do with the eagle? Frolic and gallivant?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's...
I'm going to do a gay bar called Pasture. It's just all for
senior gays only.
Senior gays.
What is a senior gay to you guys? Like a 35-year-old?
30. Oh. So basically next year I'll be able to attend my own bar.
I went for the first time.
Yeah.
Because I'm 30 now.
Oh, yeah. Yes. How was it? 30.
Well, you know.
If I'm running the place, terrible.
Olivia Newton-John everywhere.
Always. Constantly. Bonnie Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all haven't watched And Just Like That?
No, I have not. But see, I was never a Sex and the City fan to begin with.
When would I watch it?
I don't know. I was just wondering. Like, if you watched it.
No.
Did you watch Sex and the City, Spence? No. See,
Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about that. It's like one of our first episodes on this podcast. If you want to subscribe, don't forget to do that.
Go back through the years.
Leave us a review and tell us what you think. Give us 5 stars. But yeah, it was one of the first episodes on our podcast. We talked about it because it was all for a bit more mature gays, the 40-something gays. This is what we watched. It was Friends. It was
riveting, captivating television.
No, it was just a not older. She was in her 30s, a single woman. And as a gay person, before you could get married, gay marriage, like that's, you were like, that's me. I'm a single person, vixen on the dating through people, and one day I'll find my true long love.
Is that what the gays love the housewives now?
Yeah.
Well,
it's the same thing. Well, now the gays can get married, so.
Oh, yeah.
But in 2003, 2004, when this show came out, like that's what you want. So now they've gotten older, but apparently it's sad now because spoiler alert.
Oh, don't spoil it for me.
I'm gonna
really
go watch
looking forward to
all
it.
Of the seasons of Sex and the City, and then watch And Just Like That.
Well, it talks
and
about
the movies.
Like,
I'm gonna watch the movie.
It's like, you know, they're in their 50s, I guess, maybe 60s now, and they've lost a spouse, they've lost their friendships are no longer there, so all that idealism of your 20s and 30s, like, no, not there.
It's just the quest to end hot flashes.
Menopause. We all feel that.
And just like that. I get hot flashes now, but do men get those?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Mine, no.
I just get flashes where I still think I'm hot.
Oh, what a way to turn that around.
Speaking of hot, COVID. It's like heating up again.
She better don't.
Yeah, she Omnicroche is
there. Yeah, she better do.
She's like shutting things down. Mm-hmm. Offices are going back to working from home. I'm a little scared that like come January after the holidays,
everyone's gonna have COVID.
Well, no, well,
everyone already has COVID.
I'm talking I'm talking about schools.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like we're gonna send your kids to work, you know, do school remotely. Oh,
God, we haven't done that yet.
Yeah. See, there we go. The fear just.
All right, girls. It's that time again. You have to go be in your room for 8 hours and don't open the door.
Don't talk to each other. Don't do anything. Just focus.
Oh, I guess it'd be hard because they don't have those. They don't have the last tablets. Year. They started with the tablets. They don't have them this year, so they'd just be doing worksheets all day. That's not fun.
Did you ever do like the time multiplying? Like, never mind.
Thanks. What's next?
You don't want to talk about COVID no more?
I don't want to talk about whatever you're trying to talk about.
Okay.
Get your shots, get your boosters and all that. But, you know, as we wind down to the year, yes, COVID is back. And
still
you,
here.
You guys saw the little jokes going around the internet that are so cute that are like, you know, 2022 is 2020.
Two.
It kind of feel like that with this really, Omicron.
Be like that.
Omicron. Is there an N in it?
I don't think so. I think it's Omicron.
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 Please stop.
Bringing back that.
I don't like that.
It's 3,000.
I feel it's 3,000 and late.
You're so 2,000 and late.
Get that boom, boom, pow.
But it's been a year. We had kids, Spence.
We did.
You're on the podcast more often now.
I'm invited. Sometimes, occasionally, people will invite me on this podcast.
Invited? You just show up.
Normally, I just sit on the couch over there and just watch you, and I laugh and I giggle, but nobody ever.
No, you put your headphones in and you go, I'm knitting.
Yeah.
You're playing video games. You do something. You're never listening to us.
I always listen to the first 5 minutes.
See what's on the episode. What's good? What's going on?
Ooh, what are you girls talking about?
What's the tea?
But as we look back at the year, a lot of stuff's happened. Like I said, we have kids. What else happened? Don't care. No, what else happened? A lot of things.
A winter storm.
A winter storm.
The winter storm.
That's when the girls came to live with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had a little bit of a return to normal during the summer.
Yeah, we got to go to Pride. Yeah.
I turned 30.
You turned 30.
We got to go to see a drag show with Carly Rae Jepsen and Shania Twain.
Shania.
And Celine Dion.
Oh, you gotta love a good diva. As I look at this Christmas card that was sent from a good friend, Josh and Gerber.
Holly. Says,
have a Holly Dolly Christmas.
What is Dolly short for?
Dahlia.
Dahlia.
Delandria.
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 Anything else?
Tell us about your accomplishments this year. Did you make a lemon tart?
That's what I accomplished today. And that's it. Now I moved 2 times. I went on several vacations. I promised myself that I was going to go on a trip every single month. And this year I pretty much did that. The only month that I haven't is the month of December. But that's okay.
Hey, it's not too late for you to go down to the gutter.
There we go. Just take a trip, you know. But no, I mean, that was one of my resolutions was to make sure that I gave myself a vacation every single month. And I did that.
Where did you go in April?
Austin. No, Denver. I went to Denver. No, Denver was May. Austin. Final answer.
I don't believe you anymore.
Oh, okay. But no, I did, I moved twice, living by myself and... enjoying that. What else did I do this year?
You got a boyfriend.
Oh yeah, I have a boyfriend. Anyway. Just kidding.
God.
I have a boyfriend that loves me very much. What else did I do? celebrated 2 years of our spoopy podcast.
Oh, look at that.
That's a good plug, right?
There you go.
That's our spoopy podcast. Ourspoopypodcast.com.
That's pretty much it. I didn't do too much else more exciting than that. Work, podcast, vacation. Period.
Well, that's fun. You got a new job. Yeah.
Well, my old job back, yeah.
2022.
It's 2022. Again.
Yeah. 2.0.
We got a new president.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Praise Jesus.
There was an insurrection.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, things
pretty
happened.
Uneventful year.
COVID happened. COVID still.
The United States was on the brink of disaster, and maybe is currently. But also, there was literal insurrectionists and terrorists in the White House, and the president started it.
Capitol. Yeah. Well, there was a terrorist in the White House, but he's thankfully not in there anymore.
He's just battling the state of New York instead. Yeah. And hiding in Florida while he does it.
I feel like there's plenty of other things that have happened. I mean, COVID pretty much limits everything like that could have happened. I mean, everything's like, we talked about, like, oh, we kind of went to Pride because, but everything was still kind of muted. The storyline was COVID and then that freaking insurrection.
And the winter storm that shut down Texas for a week and made me use snow to flush my toilet.
Yeah. Which, what a start to the year, right?
I know.
Can't wait to see what next year brings. On podcast note, I mean, we've introduced new hosts, new segments. And so, Chris, you're here on a regular basis. You are one of the hosts of Let's Talk About Gay Stuff, as is Dusty, but he's taking holiday today. So apparently we have a vacation policy that I wasn't. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no one told me about that.
I was like, paid leave?
Do we get that?
I'm going to have to talk to my union leave.
How do I talk to HR? Yeah. Can we form a union here?
I don't know. No, I'll get back to you.
Someone's
we have to fire Chris right now.
Am I a scab worker?
You're the scab.
Who's going to replace me?
We just call
Kennedy.
You.
Hey, he's nicer than you.
Chris has never bit me.
Yet.
We've had some good topics. We've had some great guests. We had Zaylor Stout, who wrote the book Our Gay History in 50 States, which was a fun interview. We had like a jaw-dropping moment for me when we had Rodney Wilson, founder of LGBTQ History Month, on our episode, celebrating 100 episodes of Let's Talk About Gay Stuff, and he talked some gay stuff with us. And then, Amber's calling.
Do we have to go find her?
We have to go find her.
And then we had Judith Kaysen Windsor on as well, who was the surviving spouse of Edie Windsor, who paved the way for marriage equality for us here in the United States of America. So that was fun. We've had fun. And then, of course, Jack Berger, who we'll hear about in just a bit. You want to hear about something else? Baked Bones Dog Treats.
Oh, woo! Yum.
Do you have pups, doggies, fur babies? Well, show them some love with some Baked Bones Dog Treats. These aren't just any treats. They are specially baked bones. They have CBD, which is great because CBD has been shown to help reduce stress and anxiety in both humans and dogs. So thankfully, Baked Bones has your dog covered with delicious treats that your dog will surely love. Made from organic. You know why I know they're surely going to love it? Because our dogs surely love them.
They do.
Made from organic, human-grade ingredients and full-spectrum hemp oil, their bones may offer some relief to your anxious pup. You can check out BakedBones.com for more information on CBD for dogs and the other benefits it may provide. Baked Bones offers free shipping on all orders over $25, and you can save 15% using the promo code GAYSTUFF15. Woohoo! That's GAYSTUFF15.
GAYSTUFF15.
How would Katya say the next part? Baked Bones is LGBTQ owned and operated.
Wait, where is it? Baked Bones is LGBTQ owned and operated and is based in Houston, Texas.
Baked Bones is now available in Man Ready Mercantile, which is a store based in Houston and the Heights and in Austin. Baked Bones proudly donates 10% of all of its profits to no-kill shelters in the U.S. Baked Bones, bake dogs happy.
Whoa.
All right.
Always got to get a jangle. Good
jangle. A jingle jangle. So what's going on in the news before we go into our interview?
Well, we were talking about boosters earlier.
Boosters, yes.
Already. But speaking of boosters, the FDA has recently just approved A shot for PrEP. So so PrEP is a pill that you can take once daily through Truvada or Descovy or Biktarvy. And that's basically the HIV prevention, essentially.
Right.
And so there is an FDA approval for a shot that you take once, once every 2 months, I believe the article said. It's HIV prevention. So
Aptitude.
Yeah, Aptitude was what the drug was called.
You don't got attitude, you got Aptitude.
You got Aptitude, which, you know, those sassy gays are going to be walking around like, I got Aptitude, honey.
You better, if you're going to be doing all those dirty things that you're doing at the bathroom of the Eagle.
And the horse tranquilizers.
Yeah. you were informing me the ways of the pharmaceutical biz, but the article was like, hey, this is great news. And at the bottom, it was like, and you get a shot, and it's only $3,700.
Yeah, but that's a number just to scare people.
Yeah.
Because Gilead, which is the maker of Truvada when it was first coming out, I got Truvada back in July of 2016. That was when I first got my prescription for it. And the bill for it was $2,000-something. I think it was $2,100 for 30 days worth of pills, which is absolutely insane. But my insurance covered most of it, luckily. And then on top of that, you could also, they covered all of it except for a $30 copay or something like that. And then they had the Gilead card, which made the copays go away, which Gilead, I don't know how they were doing this since they were their own maker of these things. But if you had the card, even if you didn't have insurance, it would basically make that $2,100 just go away, so you could still get this, because I guess they made more money on people who didn't have HIV than people who did. I don't know how that works.
I think there's probably some government incentives, too. They're like, okay, you give, if people take your, we'll pay you some of that.
Yeah, probably, absolutely. Some grants. Yeah, so the $3,700, I think, is a number just to scare people to not, to maybe try and fight against the idea of it or whatever. But I think it's absolutely an intelligent idea.
Who would fight against it? But good old Americans, we love to fight against
fighting against whatever.
Yeah, we'll fight against the COVID shot, and why not fight against potentially
life-saving drugs?
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, I saw a question on Twitter that was like, "Would today?" Because I was reading the article, and then of course I went through Twitter to get my news, because that's what young people do nowadays.
Woke people do.
Get my news through Twitter.
That's good. That's a good,
very safe,
peer-reviewed
information. Absolutely.
There we go. It's not opinionated. It's peer-reviewed. I like that.
And I won't lie, I definitely have gotten some different viewpoints from Twitter that I didn't ever realize I would have. I don't try to scroll too far in the comments, because then it just turns into a whole...
Oh, but that's fun.
No, it just makes me really stressed out and angry at the world.
I liked
it. I enjoy that little bit of rush.
Yep.
You've stopped fighting with people on Facebook.
Mm.
Oh, you still do.
I have an alt.
What do they call it? A Finsta?
Yeah.
A fake Finsta. Insta? Just so you just can go and yell at people.
With an avatar.
But the question was, if you had the option, would you take the, would you be one of the first people to take the shot as soon as it's approved? And my answer was absolutely yes. First of all, I already trust the science. I know that from all the vaccines already, not including COVID, all the other vaccines that have ever happened. So if this was already approved by the FDA, sure. I would be happy to do it and try it, because it's already gone through trials. It's already getting to FDA approval. So this is...
they said this trial was one of the most diverse trials I've ever, HIV AIDS mm-hmm. prevention, which I thought was pretty cool, because, we talk about it's HIV AIDS disproportionately affects minority communities. Mm-hmm. But normally the treatments and the trials are not tested on the community. So the fact that, during the trials you had a representative group, that was good. So.
Yeah. On top of that, I'm a person who might forget to take pills every day. So having a shot that's like, okay, show up to your shot appointment once every 2 months, and you know that's written in the books, that's something I'm going to show up to. Like, yeah. And if I have to move it like a day or two to pop into HEB or wherever, like whatever pharmacy I need to get a little shot in my arm, I'm absolutely going to be able to do that as opposed to taking a pill every single day.
So, but what if the shot was in your butt?
Then he's going to go twice in one day.
Hello.
I'm going to go multiple times a month.
You mean I can only go once every 2 months?
After your 10th visit, it's free. no, I if it was in my butt, I'd deal with that. I had a penicillin shot in my butt once, so why not? Why did I tell the podcast that?
Kendall's told all of them.
I know.
Would you take the shot or the pill?
I feel like a shot would be better. I'm a little forgetful sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what are we talking about?
Yeah. Where am I?
You're not scared of the shots?
No.
No.
When have I ever been afraid of shots?
I don't know. Shots. This segment brought to you by what's the fireball?
Fireball.
Absolute vodka.
New Amsterdam gin.
You would take a pill?
You know, because it makes me feel like I'm on the pill.
Oh, just Wednesday. Every 30.
No, I'd probably do a shot.
It's just because the thing that irritated me whenever I was on prep, when I is on prep, I have to go.
This segment brought to you by Grammarly.
And intelligence fails me. I have to go to the pharmacy every 30 days. Like, and there's apparently you can get approval for the 90-day version, but
you got to prove to them that you're having a lot of sex.
No, the opposite, which doesn't make any sense. I don't know. And then on top of that, only certain insurances will cover the 90 days, and only certain doctors will prescribe the 90 days. So, like, you have to find a doctor and an insurance company. So it's, like, the perfect, like, lineup to get the 90-day version so I don't have to go to the pharmacy every 30 days. Because then I end up forgetting to go, and then, you know, I have a week of not going to HEB, and I don't want to take another drive to HEB, even though I live next to an HEB now. But it's not important.
I think this the shot is a game changer, right? I mean, the pill, like you said, you have to, one, remember to take it. Then you have to work to get the refills. There's a lot of doctors that don't know about it. I know I talked to a doctor one time about it, and she was not very sympathetic. She was like, "What is this? And why do you want it?" So then it was all the series of like, "Well, how many partners do you have?" And I'm like, "You don't need to know that."
Yeah. Just know that I want this, and I think that it's, yeah, whatever.
She's like, "Do you have two?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, ever or in one night? Like, at the same time? Like, what are you, and why do you care?"
Yeah. Do you need me to spell it out for you?
And because then you start to get into details, and she's like, you could tell she's sweating and clutching her little stethoscope, like, I'm the devil.
Her theoretical pearls.
So then I went to the gay doctor, and he was like, "Please, that's all you had?" And then, yeah. And then
it wasn't 10 in one night, are you sure?
Well, maybe. I'm sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. They're jokes, Mom. I don't know. The point being is like that not every medical professional is equipped to discuss this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you could, I don't know, if this makes it more acceptable, or you don't have to go every 30 days to talk to your doctor about this uncomfortable topic for them, not for you, because hopefully it's not uncomfortable for you. Your sex life is your sex life, right? You shouldn't be ashamed of that. But
yeah, but I've seen plenty of things on Twitter that goes very similar to what you said about like your conversation with your first doctor. Yeah. That people in, let's make up like rural Kentucky, that are gay and want to get on Truvada because it's all a commercial. I saw something on Twitter somewhere or something like that. And their doctor is like somehow a family friend or something like that, and then doesn't follow their Hippocratic oath and tells the community about this. Oh, you want to be on this gay drug? You're out there having gay sex and you're doing, you know, all this other stuff. So then it can have an effect. So having a shot, do I think that's going to be any different, too much of a difference of, you know, that situation? No, but I do think that it's going to be more easily distributed. Because, I mean, think about, like, distributing to, like, sub-Saharan African communities that have HIV that's prevalent in the communities. Having someone show up every 2 months for a shot is going to be easier than trying to distribute, you know, daily pills to rural communities. So I think that it is a game changer worldwide. And for, like you said, minority communities that seem to be more affected by HIV, the HIV epidemic.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is education, right? Mm-hmm. Folks aren't educated. You're ashamed for being LGBTQ. And then the healthcare access isn't the same. So, yeah, this is, I think, like you said, a game changer, because you can do a shot once every 2 months. I feel like that's more manageable than having to take a pill every 30 days.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Pop into a pharmacy once every, like, 6 times a year, as opposed to, you know, going and getting the pills every single, like, I don't know.
I mean, I got a prescription for it, and then which now I'm trying to get life insurance, or up my life insurance, and my life insurance company is like, tell me about this Truvada prescription that you got one time. So, and then I never did anything with it because I met my lovely husband.
So
I never did it because we, you know, you don't need to know.
I didn't ask a question. You're the one.
America, world.
Our worldwide listeners.
Worldwide listeners. We international, boo.
We are global.
In other gay news, the Washington Blade, which is, you know, another gay mag that's out there, in addition to Outsmart Magazine, Houston's LGBTQ+. Magazine, Washington Blade, they're getting a seat in the White House briefing room, which is a pretty big deal because there's a select number of media outlets, they get to sit in the briefing room and question the
White House press secretary,
yeah, or any of the guests they have in there, right? Whether that sometimes the president may drop in or other. I mean, you remember the days of the COVID meetings that the last president had, and Fauci and all those. I mean, if you're in that briefing room, you get to ask those questions, right? And
you get to be the first line of reporting.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to watch it on TV. You get to be the one that asks the questions. And they're on a rotating seat with the other, which I think most of the seats are rotating, but they're in it. They get to ask questions. It's the first time an LGBTQ+ magazine publication is represented in that White House briefing room.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
I think it's awesome.
Go gays.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's a major factor, because I mean, it's something that you and I and maybe Dusty have talked about, is the idea of, like, gay news. And, like, Pink News is an amazing job on, like, being online, like a digital system, because I mean, I go to them and be like, what's happened in gay news lately? And so, well, of course they're not going to be focused only on gay news, because they're going to be focusing on how, I mean, it's America. I mean, you're in the White House briefing room. So it's going to be more than that. But at the same time, we're going to have LGBTQ writers who are going, I mean, it's focused on our community. So I think it's a great venue for all of us in general.
Right. And you have someone asking questions like, oh, you're starting this commission, where's the LGBTQ+ representation? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're rolling out Build Back Better, where's the LGBTQ+ representation, like, yeah, funding? Your cabinet members, like, you can, not that the Washington Blade needs to carry the burden of every gay person in America or LGBTQ+ person in America, but
they get this opportunity to, you know, you've got
someone who will ask that question. Mm-hmm. So I think that's huge.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. Again, as we'll talk about with the interview with Jack, like, these magazines started off as one pagers. Like, I think specifically the Washington Blade, I remember it was that first edition with issue, yeah, is.
Oh, it's a word.
It's a word. It was like talking about roommates and talking about, like, how to, they were having meetings to talk about how to
organize better.
I don't want to say fight the cops, but, like, handle police officers when you're being confronted. And then just other things of, like, where to buy porn or not buy porn. So
poppers.
Yeah. So it was just, and it wasn't even like the ad in that first edition was very, The one talking about porn was like, don't buy porn from this one because it's like not legit. So it wasn't like, here's where you go. It was just like an awareness thing. It's like people scam gays because they know they can, right? And yeah. Like, especially during that time, because you can't go complain, right? You give money to this, we'll say porn dealer, and you're not, you can't go to the police and be like, hey, I was trying to buy gay porn and I couldn't, you know, and they gave me the wrong thing. Like, you just out of money because you have no, you can't go
like to stand on.
And now you can go on Twitter and complain and be like, and everyone's gonna like come for that site, like, how dare you, or come with that site, whatever. Hey, yeah. You know, you do you with your sites. But yeah, so it's come, and now you've got someone from that magazine in the White House briefing room. That's pretty cool.
I think that is pretty cool.
We've come a long way. I don't know, that's a song.
I've never just heard. Made it up.
Sure.
You know what else has come a long way?
Tell us.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
You better work.
So,
what is that show about?
It is about cars that go vroom vroom and they'd like woo woo. Yeah, it's really crazy.
I don't want to watch that.
I know nothing about Drag Race. Did I do a good job? No. Okay. So, anyways, RuPaul's Drag Race announced today that they are doing what's it called? RuPaul's Drag Race UK versus the World. I think is what the title is, which is basically an international version of Drag Race franchises that are going to be coming together. And UK is the host country as of right now. And I know that we have only exploded even more in Drag Race franchises like Drag Race Italia, Drag Race España, Drag Race Mexico, I think, is coming out. Drag Race Brazil, Drag Race Germany is possibly in the works. I mean, we've got Drag Race in
Australia.
Philippines, I think, was a thing that was also coming. Oh, yes. Listen, Drag Race Ananda.
You could watch it 24 hours a day for the rest of your life and you'll never be done.
Still not be caught up. I'm sorry, girls. But I say all that because those are things that have come out since RuPaul's Drag Race UK versus the World had recorded. So now we've got so many more franchises that other queens that you may have, or drag artists, and I won't say queens, have, you might have fallen in love with at this point. So
these are recycled artists. They're not new ones.
Correct. This is
All-Stars.
Supposed to be an All-Stars, international All-Stars version. Mm. And just the name is UK versus the World. So the rumored cast is a bunch of queens from like Drag Race Holland, Drag Race Thailand even, Drag Race Canada, and then Drag Race UK and the United States RuPaul's Drag Race as well. So that's, I think, the idea and the direction that they are going with that. So that is a lot. But I think it's kind of exciting. It's kind of a situation that's bringing all the queens or our drag artists together. So
it'll be fun to see different nationalities.
Yeah, different nationalities of drag together, brought into one space.
It's like the Olympics of drag, huh?
Yeah, the Olympics of drag. Literally now it is. They just called it that before, but now it actually
That's what they
is.
Said no, about actually. Drag race in general. Now it's like actually is drag race from different countries together in one. What if they did like an opening ceremony?
I want them to do a artist march, queen march.
Mm-hmm. I need that.
All the past queens doing?
All of them. All of them together, just marching around in a giant stadium together.
Oh yeah.
I would lose my shit.
The booking fee would be astronomical.
$500 million.
They can afford that.
RuPaul absolutely can. She got that fracking money.
She'd probably have it in Montana.
Yeah. She'd build her own stadium on her own property.
And she'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to do actual events.
Actual
downhill skiing.
Marathon.
Shot put.
Beach volleyball.
All the dragons would be like, I'm gonna do beach volleyball. I'll do beach volleyball.
Skeet shooting.
Ooh.
Is that like two on the nose?
I think that's
we can't say that.
I don't know.
That's actually like a sport.
Lots of people would sign up for that without knowing
what it was. Exactly. They'd be like, I have to do what?
Excuse me? A gun?
I have a gun.
No. That's not what you said.
What's that thing flying through the air? That's not what you do.
That's not what I signed up for.
That's not what they say on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. You guys ready to talk to Jack?
Absolutely.
All right. Chris and I talked to Jack Berger.
I'm gonna go do something else.
Gonna go knit.
Yeah.
Gonna go check on the girls. Chris and I are talking to Jack Berger from Outsmart Magazine. So take a listen. Alrighty, like we said, we have Jack Berger here with Outsmart Magazine. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's glad we are very happy to have you. You've been a indirect friend of the show because I think talked to Jack enough about the podcast, and he's all things Outsmart. He's been with Outsmart Magazine for over 15 years. He's a sales and marketing manager for Houston's LGBTQ Voice Outsmart Magazine. He spent the first 25 years of his professional career in sports marketing. So a butch gay then.
Totally,
huh?
Butch.
Sporty gay. He came to Houston to be the executive director of the Greater Houston Sports Foundation and was involved in Houston's bid for the Super Bowl, World Cup, and numerous national championships. He is the current president of EPA, which is the Executive and Professional Association of Houston. He was president of Bunnies on the Bayou for 4 years and has served on the boards of the Bayou City Performing Arts, which is the Gay Men's Chorus, and Outreach United and Lesbian Health Initiative. Again, he's not a native of Houston, but he's lived here long enough that you're Houston. Do you declare yourself a Houstonian?
Yeah, I think so. some folks still consider me a Yankee, but yeah. That's not home anymore. Yeah, so
you have sons that you both proudly went to Texas A&M, so which Chris and I did. So when you're boasting about that, you're full on Texan.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
At that point, there's no turning back. No.
And it's recent, so yeah. Yeah. It's all good.
A bleeding maroon. Yeah. At least your checkbook is, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we wanted to bring you on as we mentioned earlier to have you talk about Outsmart Magazine. I mean, we know Outsmart Magazine as readers of the magazine, which is the LGBTQ voice in Houston. We were also featured back in May of 2020.
Yeah,
it was
okay.
Last year. It was good to have our podcast highlight on that. So we're very thankful to Outsmart Magazine. But also, as readers, we know that Outsmart has had such a huge impact on the community. Before we do that, though, it would be good to know about you, because we know, we did your bio, but just kind of your story, because it is unique. Like Dusty, who is one of our co-hosts on the show, married, had kids, and, to a woman, and then later found a different path in your life. So I'd love to hear your story.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I was a amateur sports employee, sort of working in and around the U.S. Olympic Committee, moved five times in 7 years, came to Houston, had my eyes opened about what a real gay community was, because mm-hmm. living in Syracuse, New York, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Colorado Springs, Colorado, not the gayest of communities. Mm-hmm. Indy might have been the gayest, and I think the gay bar was gay on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So it wasn't something that I could sort of wrap my head around. And so met my ex-wife, a lovely young woman, doing some projects with the Houston JCs, and, did my best. We joked that it was 7 of the happiest years of my life out of 14 that I was married, but that's just a bad joke.
Right.
I do have two fabulous sons, but at one point they were 6 and 10 when my ex-wife came home from the gym late and said, "Don't you think you'd be happier in another lifestyle?" And I was like, wow, there it is. It's on the tee. And I thought, if you have two unhappy parents, you're probably going to have unhappy kids. Mm-hmm. And staying together till the youngest is out of high school and into college was a 12-year further down the road, and it just didn't make any sense. I had fabulous role models, if you can believe that. I had two father-in-laws and three mother-in-laws while I was married, and they all got along. And so we still get along. Mm-hmm. So the that part actually wasn't as challenging as I thought. I met a great group of guys here in Houston called Fathers First, which was a support group that met at Bering Church. They weren't part of the church, but they met there weekly. And basically it was just to provide an opportunity for people to see that you're not the Lone Ranger and other guys are going through this, that they had kids, like I like to say, the old-fashioned way. they didn't adopt. They didn't, you know, wasn't no turkey basters involved. this was a good old-fashioned, you had kids. And that you also have some rights, you know, that the divorce shouldn't be that ugly.
And these were gay men that were meeting at the church?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, some guys went just to see that they didn't have it so bad. Mm-hmm. I often felt guilty that my ex-wife didn't hate me and I didn't have to carry around a video recorder like some of my friends did. Mm. It was a great support network. I wish the group still existed. I'm a proud graduate. A lot of my very best and oldest gay friends are through that organization. But it was in that process that I kind of found OutSmart. And I always say that when, you know, I came out at 46, so it was a late start. I got a late start on the hetero and the homo side. but I'm trying to make up for it. And having the ability as an OutSmart employee to get more involved in the community and be the OutSmart guy, because the owner publisher of OutSmart has been doing it for 28 years, which is an amazing accomplishment. One local owner in all 28 years. But he had his activist days, whatever you want to call it, and that left an opportunity for me to get involved in a variety of organizations. So through my friends at Fathers First, I got involved with Bunnies, and then the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. How long has Bunnies been around for?
Yeah, I just celebrated 41 years. I think it's just behind Stonewall. Mm-hmm. You know, wow. It's like the next year.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that the original name was the Bunny F Party. and it morphed into a fundraising event. It was originally an Easter Sunday pool party at a Montrose area apartment complex. And, you know, unfortunately, we've lost the last two to the pandemic, but in 2019, we generated and donated $175,000 to all local LGBTQ plus nonprofit beneficiaries.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
So you went, like, I know we're here to talk about OutSmart, but you an interesting story, right? Midlife, you're like, hey, I'm going to, and then you go all in, like you, you're involved in the community. You are leading organizations in the community that are giving back to the community, right?
Yeah, so. I've never been a good follower kind of thing.
I feel that.
And I always felt like if you're going to bitch and moan, you better be able to back it up. And so, you know, again, I would love to be more philanthropic, but like as the president of Bunnies, I wrote checks for over $500,000. Mm-hmm. And that's because in the top left-hand corner didn't say Jack A. Burger. It said Bunnies on the Bayou. Mm-hmm. If it was mine, there'd be a whole lot less zeros. and so, you know, if it just meant an hour or two a month, sign me up. And I always thought that it'd be good for my business side. You know, I want to be the OutSmart guy. I want to be the person that gets the referrals and gets the business and you know, can help connect the dots. And that's the beauty of this community. It's not that big. Even though we're in a big city, you can have quite an impact, you know, just by participating. Mm-hmm. And that was important for me. It gave me a sense of purpose and something to do, quite frankly, because all of a sudden I didn't have two kids following me around. Yeah. I mean, I still was dad and I still had to do, you know, the FFA stuff and all that kind of cool things, and still coached basketball and Katie, trying to keep who I worked for a little bit of just quiet. If anyone asks, I worked for an urban niche magazine. you know, because I wasn't sure that the folks of the good town folk of Katy wanted their, you know, 9 or 10 year old to be coached by, you know, an out gay person. Mm-hmm. So, they all survived, and eventually I can't remember. I think it might have been about fourth grade where I just lost the patience and the time and the ability to have them scared of me.
So did you come out, or you just stopped coaching?
I stopped coaching. Yeah,
easier said than done.
Yeah, we didn't make a big deal out of it, though.
So, I mean, that's some of the challenges you had. Like, your family, you said your wife didn't hate you. Right. And so, and your in-laws, I guess they the show kept going on. It's like,
well, yeah.
Did they think?
Still to this day.
Was it because they always knew? Like, well, I guess maybe a little bit back, because we
yeah, there was an intervention, yeah, actually. Okay. Before we got married, my mother-in-law number two fancied herself an artiste, and she knew many gays. Mm. And when they got invited to the engagement party, they're like, "Oh, Linda, we think he might be gay," and so they confronted me one day, and I fessed up, and I agreed to go to counseling. And unfortunately, it lasted about 4 or 5 sessions, and the guy died, unfortunately. Oh, wow. And I was like, oh, I'm good.
I guess this is a sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need to be doing this anymore.
Yeah, I got the ring back a couple times.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Projected both times. But, you know, just like any other couple, I mean, you know, you're going to go through some things, and I gave him my best shot.
Yeah. So, I tried. So early on, you said you went to counseling. Like, this is before you guys got married.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, we pushed the wedding back by about 6 or 8 months. And
to get, like, was this some sort of conversion therapy? Or
no. No. Okay. It was just talking about it. Okay. And quite frankly, you know, I really hadn't had, like, the full-on gay boyfriend or the big relationship. And, you know, I moved to Houston. I met a guy. His name was Doug Fry. We went to Vegas, and the woman who took the reservation said, "Oh, burger and fry, you want a Coke with that?" And, you know, it was like, I didn't have both feet in yet.
Right.
I was still a bit concerned that the burger family name was going to, you know, die. My brother didn't have any kids at the time. He subsequently has 2 boys as well, so the burger name's fine. But I just felt like, gee, I work in the amateur sports field. I don't know that out and gay is, you know, going to work on that front. So we'll just try it one time. Yeah. So I am a Silver Star many times, but not just one. And, you know, it's, you can't change history, and I'd never change being a dad. Right. So that part's amazing.
Absolutely.
And something you always knew, though. You always knew. I mean, that's a question that we have, because we have a lot of allies who listen.
No, I knew it, you know, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that range.
Right.
But those times were different. I mean, that's, you know, and who knows, maybe because in the pre-AIDS era, maybe it kept me alive. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't know that. I mean, we lost family members and friends. And yet, again, because I wasn't, like, firmly entrenched in the community at that point, you never know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's always interesting. I mean, we've had a number of guests, but I guess this is a pleasant surprise, because Jack's in person this time. We haven't had an in-person guest in a while.
In a long time.
So it's good to have in person. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear everyone's kind of coming out story. I mean, I know from our listeners, that's one thing they always like the highest rated episodes are when we have guests and when they're talking about their coming out story. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Oh yeah. It's fairly well documented. And again, I think it was amazing that, the first time I went to Outsmart, there was only one other salesperson working there at the time. And Thomas had been there for a while, but he was a defrocked Catholic priest.
Oh, wow.
And so his story was, like, totally fascinating.
Yeah.
And yet, being a sporty gay, the only person that I could chat sports with was Nancy Ford, who was one of the editors and out lesbian entertainer / fabulous writer. And so we would talk football, and if I wore anything I have an Oakland A's, like a wind shirt. And I remember walking in and Thomas saying, "Oh, what a lovely blouse." And I was like, you know, or look at her in her new jeans. Doesn't she look good? And I had never, you know, referred to myself in the female.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was so cool. It was like, it was sort of like going, the first year I went to Bunny's, it was like, wow, I'm not in the minority. Mm-hmm. That I'm now among people who think like me. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe not quite on the same spectrum, but at least it wasn't a, you know, that thing. And it was like, wow, I have to figure out how to get more involved with this, or else I'm going to look like the biggest perv who doesn't drink stands around for 5 hours just watching
it, right?
Because it's so freaking fascinating.
It is fascinating because I came from a small town, went to College Station. I mean, once again, not really a gay scene. Moving to Houston was that just wide eye, just like, yeah. I mean, I could completely agree with the like just watching people situation because I didn't know how to interact.
Well, and for me, I bought a house on Heights Boulevard, a little patio home that was 6 units, and 4 of them, if I include myself, well, 5 of them were gay owned. But, you know, I never had seen up close and personal 2 guys living together. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole dynamic, that how you celebrate a holiday and how you have friends and have friends over and that type of thing. And I liked it, and I kind of like had like a half a toe in, but I couldn't make that final commitment.
And then again, nowadays, all in, like you.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now it's almost uncomfortable to go into a straight setting.
Oh yeah.
if I'm in a networking situation where it's not LGBT related, even if it is LGBT related, but not in my comfort zone. Like I recently went to the NGLCC meetings in Florida, and I'm not part of the clique. I'm not part of the group. I mean, and by the time you squint and read someone's name tag, they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's a little strange because I'm used to being in the middle of everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so whether it's an EPA dinner meeting where there's 85 guests and if there's 4 or 5 people that I haven't met yet, that's a lot. And same thing with the chamber and everything else that, we seem to be involved with right now, so that it's a very comfortable spot, and I really enjoy where I'm able to navigate right now. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think, you know, younger Jack, rather, did you ever think younger Jack was going to see a day like this where you're, again, working for LGBTQ publication on an LGBTQ podcast, involved like as much as you are in the community?
Nope. And I get to go home and cook dinner for my partner and you know, and my kids will be okay with it. And you know what? Yeah, no, totally no.
Wow. Living a life you never imagined, and here you are.
Absolutely. And it's really kind of neat. When I first started at Outsmart, I basically was on page 5 of a resume that, you know, didn't have 16 or 17 years of history in one spot. I mean, the folks at Outsmart tell a story where I had actually submitted a resume a year prior, and they called a year later and said, "Is there any chance you're looking for a job still or whatever?" And I was working for the Houston Dynamo at the time. And I said, you know, I'm not loving this, so let's chat. And, you know, I took a cut in pay, sold Cyndi Lauper a full page ad the second day I was on the job, and thought, I might be okay at this. and yeah, the rest is kind of history. I mean, I have a degree in journalism.
Yeah.
I love to write, so it's kind of fun to actually, you know what a good ad might look like, or to write a fun headline. I was sort of clowning with one of my legal attorney advertisers, and she's doing a series of ads with drag queens. And so for the December headline, I jokingly wrote, if your partner put the hoe in holidays, maybe it's time to lose 200 pounds. And she loved it, and we're just running with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's the kind of freedom, if you will, that, that we get to have.
Right.
I've had car dealers, you know, say, do I need to hire a gay salesperson? And I'm like, no, just, you know, just treat us with respect. Right. And I said, you know, you don't need to put a unicorn farting glitter in your head. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
You know, we're already gay.
Right.
You know, you don't have to gay it up.
This magazine's already gay. We don't need more.
Yeah, we do have another attorney. I was like, okay, you can put your bulldog in rainbow. I'm glad you know the difference between an otter and a bear.
Right.
But that's not making it into the ad.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's, again, your story, I mean, we've talked before, so it's cool to hear you say it on here, just kind of the journey and that you've been on. So, Outsmart magazine, it is, tell us about it.
Well, like I said, 28 years, Greg Jew is the publisher, he's local, he went to Bel Air High School, we're the two Jews, he's Chinese, J-E-U, I'm the old-fashioned J-E-W, it's just a fun place to work. It's very small. We have 6 or 7 full-time employees.
Wow.
We're the fourth largest city in the...
Right.
Yeah.
And we have a bunch of freelance writers and a bunch of freelance photographers led by Dalton DeHart, everyone's favorite. And I don't think we look like we're that small. I think we're a tremendous... Alex Rosa, who is our... art director, does an amazing job. We just switched printers in the last couple months, so we're now slicker than ever. We have fabulous cover stock. We look as good as we ever have. We're not quite as girthy as we were. In June of 2019, pre-COVID, our Pride issue was 214 pages.
Oh, my goodness. That's a book.
Yeah. it shrunk to 98 or so in 2020. A little better this year. We'll see what happens. It feels like it's starting to come back. The cool thing about Outsmart, when I started, it was like, oh, are we doing another story on Cher? It was like, it was just about entertainment and fluffy, you know, stuff. It just wasn't, you know, I think people read us now for, politics and business features and other editorial opportunities. Obviously, we're still based in the communities that make sense. But we've got 65,000 readers in print each and every month. And now, because of the web, we have over 100,000 unique visitors to our web-based platforms every month. So, you know, we can do everything from sponsored e-blasts that go out to about 20,000 subscribers every month that have opted in. So we are a legitimate vehicle for people who want to reach this community. It's no joke that the demographic makes sense with, I don't care what the topic is, if it's real estate or, you know, lawyers, dentists, professionals, everybody that wants to reach this community. We should really take a look at it. It's relatively affordable, in my opinion. And you know, when it comes to niches, you know, there's very few print opportunities that are still left. I love the feel of a magazine, or a newspaper or whatever. It's hard to, you know, get the same thing from a Kindle or from a tablet or whatever. But you know, we've got a sort of a unique situation. We're distributed free of charge at about 370 plus locations between Houston and Galveston. We have our own delivery folks and they restock. And you know, if we're a couple days late, for whatever reason, people are calling, is there anything you guys need? You okay? But we've made it through hurricanes, pandemics, other assorted things, and have not missed a month in those 28 years. And, you know, we just, I think, provide a voice for the community. We're not a nonprofit, but we do have that feel that we are the community's voice. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can feature the community and keep it on the positive of what's going on, I think that's just a bonus for Houston and especially the LGBTQ plus community.
Right. Do you think there's anything, does anything in your mind between you and the boss like stick out in terms of the contribution to the greater Houston community? I mean, you said the distribution for Outsmart is between, you know, Houston and Galveston. So that's, I mean, we're talking about 4 million plus people. I mean, right. In terms of the total population.
Yeah.
Does anything stick out as like a proud moment for Outsmart?
Well, I think when Anise was elected, we really sort of kind of did the chest beating thing. Mm-hmm. And then obviously when gay marriage came along, and you know, it would be great. I was very worried 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when Hillary was running. Okay, if she wins and it's just not a big deal to be gay, do we need gay media? Mm-hmm. You have seen in several communities where, especially with print, maybe in the African-American community, that they disappear or they get smaller or they're relegated online to a smaller stature. I think on the Hispanic community of Houston, with a language barrier or a second language, those publications are still going to exist. But, you know, Trump came along and we didn't have to worry about it anymore.
From a business standpoint, yeah. Exactly. They had other things to worry about, but yes.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we don't give back all the things that we've won and fought for. I think it's been a progression over the years. I remember when I first started and we were sort of doing the countdown to how many states had gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, check mark here, check mark in Iowa, check mark Massachusetts, California. And just sort of keeping track. And then all of a sudden, you know, the floodgates open.
Yeah, everything.
And so, you know, I think part of it is that we've been along for the ride. So we went from a small publication that might have had a very inexpensive paper, very few photographs, and a very, very unsophisticated look, to a totally, you know, gorgeous publication that can fight with any publication in the country. Mm-hmm. And all y'all need to just go to New Orleans and see, wow, okay, this is like, I hate to call it a bar rag, but mm-hmm. that's basically what it is. It supported if they didn't have the support of the bars, then, you know, I don't even know if
the publication would still exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So with us, we made a conscious effort years ago, not that we have bars that advertise with us, but we are a monthly. They want to be able to change and let you know every week what the drag show is or what the special is or what's going on. That's not really what we're about. So we do have a national agency that books ads for us, mostly in the pharmaceuticals and some of the other bigger things. But, you know, we generate over $1 million annually from the community so that we can put this information out. Mm-hmm. And again, lift the community by featuring and focusing on what's good going on in the community.
Right. Yeah. I mean, these sites, Towards the Magazines, I mean, they have, I mean, a long history, right? And what they've, in terms of what they've offered to the community, whether it be news, it's kind of cool to hear you as a business owner, hear you talk about how businesses are connected to that, right? They see the right value of advertising it. But what do you think the value is of magazines like Outsmart to the broader LGBTQ community, like in terms of our history as a community?
One of the things that I found interesting, because when I first came out, everyone was like, well, we don't talk about the oil and gas people, you know. they're not comfortable coming out, and you're seeing more and more of that. You're seeing that in every walk of life, there are gays, mm-hmm. and lesbians and trans and whatever. It makes it kind of like really evident and in your face that there aren't, you know, I thought all gays had to be, you know, hairdressers, flight attendants, and florists. That's mm-hmm. the only gays I knew when I was growing yeah. up. And that's just not the case. And you can see that in all walks of life. And again, you don't have to be gay to advertise in Outsmart, but we also have a really fun sales promotion every year for 25 of the 28 years, or this will be our 25th year, upcoming to pick the Reader's Choice Award, sort of the best of. And everyone's fighting for the gayest and greatest. They want that little icon that gives them a little extra street cred that says, okay, I'm the gayest and greatest realtor, dentist, veterinarian, whatever. And, you know, people in our community want to do business with like-minded folks, that they don't have to worry that, you know, they're going to get bitched out when they, you know, if they want to have their wedding cake baked by whoever. That's not going to, you know, happen. And there used to be a gay yellow pages and a rainbow pages and all those kinds of things. Well, you know, there's still probably, I don't know, 100,000 people. How many people are moving to Houston every month? You know, like 10, 12, 15,000.
Yeah.
If the X percent are gay, then the Outsmart directory can lead them to find an insurance person or a doctor or an apartment, whatever. And so from a business side of it, that's important that, that, you know, we don't have to settle, or we can seek out like-minded folks and we can do business within our own communities. And it's smart to do business that way. So the more that we can continue to open eyes and just spotlight members of the community, and, you know, whether they buy it or they get it for, you know, they're featured, you know, it's sort of church and state at our place. The advertising and editorial don't always get together. But there's some, you know, really good opportunities. You know, March is always our car issue. April's always our real estate issue. August is music. September is arts and entertainment. Our arts community is freaking huge. And, you know, we have to be able to continue to bring their stories to the forefront. And we have a quite a concerted effort to make sure we don't miss any portion of our community.
So I had, just backtracking ever so slightly, you were discussing, I lost my train of thought, but you are very focused on making sure that we're including everyone in the community.
Right.
So then I have a question, like, how are we, how is Outsmart pandering towards, like young people in our community?
So one of the things that took me a while to wrap my head around was a new thing that we do called Queer Things to Do.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, queer was one step below the F word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not always quite there. Still always like sort of gives me that little cringe and, oh, queer things is a cool thing now. So that we try to feature Queer Things to Do this weekend or this month or whatever. So that's part of it. You know, what are we, you know, before maybe we were always worried about share, but now we're looking at featuring local drag entertainers, both kings and queens, and what's going on in the community. So I think there's still an opportunity to, you know, get down to every level so that it's not just the white says 50 plus whatever, and let people know what's going on. So this community is so diverse and has always, you know, come up with some reinvented new stuff. And that's our job, is to just to tell those stories.
Yeah. So I remembered my topic was you were discussing people moving into Houston,
right.
And looking for, you know, new people that are specifically like LGBTQ plus, you know, in some way, shape or form. And I think that that's a very important factor, for, especially for young people, because a lot of people, like especially for me, I was looking for a doctor who I knew when I first moved to Houston. I was looking for a doctor who I knew was going to be LGBT accepting,
right.
And would be focused on like giving me the best, you know, information and whatnot. So a directory like that, I think, also helps out. So that's where kind of where my question kind of came from.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I think they have, even in a city this size, I think we have underserved portions of our community, especially when it comes to healthcare. So when we can bring that to the forefront, then that's a good thing, because I still think there's room for improvement.
Yeah, Absolutely.
I think it's cool how you guys are celebrating, like the stories you're telling, or you're talking about celebrating different aspects of the community, right? Different drag artists, right? Their featured articles, our podcast, right? It speaks to like the evolution. I mean, these magazines started off as like one pagers or newsletters that people had to pay for, right? And they were or shipped in the dark of night, or you got into that one pager, and it was all about. I remember looking at the first one of the DC one, it was a one pager, and it was just like community meetup here, how to fight off the fight back against the cops. Don't go to this shop because they sell fake porn. It was these sorts of things. Need a roommate. And all that fit on one page, and then it evolved to something more political. And as you noted, right, with gay marriage, that was a big thing. And now we've evolved to we still have a long way to go in terms of the equality aspect, but we're at a place where we can use these sorts of publications to celebrate the community, right? It's not just
absolutely. Yeah. And it wasn't that long ago we had two pages of massage therapists, and that doesn't exist anymore in this magazine. Right. And
that's what I remember these magazines for. Like looking in the back of those, the personal ads.
Yeah, luckily I found the advertising salesperson needed want ad.
But I mean, to that point, I remember a time when I was in grad school, I was away in Detroit, and I saw that magazine, and I thought, okay, if there was ever a place I was going to look at it, it was Detroit, where I didn't know anyone, right? So I looked at it. It was a ton of personal ads, massage therapists, but it was an interesting there's this community here that you don't because not everyone, especially that was in 2003, people weren't waving their rainbow flags.
Right.
So you use these magazines as a way to connect.
And a lot of it was the bars or the bookstores or the even legit LGBT bookstores, but you could go up and down Lower Westheimer and Basic Brothers Clothing and maybe it was a pool hall or something, but there were sort of safe places where gays could, feel comfortable in Montrose. And then, it sort of branched out from there. And if you look at the outsmart distribution by zip codes, it's really cool. I mean, Montrose is still probably number one, but it's
kind of mixed at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's downtown Medical Center, Heights, Greenway, Galleria, it doesn't mean that we don't get to Pearland, but maybe when they come in and go to Barnaby's or they come in and go to one of the bars, they take it back with them. So the nice thing, because we are a free publication, it gets the word out. But now with flipbook technology and being able to have the entire magazine online, if you're in print, you're in the flipbook, it's probably more localized in terms of print. I can't tell you that. I don't know if it helps your business if somebody in California is flipping through the flipbook, unless you have an online retail presence or something else. But
the stories though are unique, right? When you're talking about drag queens or people like to read those stories. Mm-hmm. And then if you're talking politics, I just saw today the news that again the DC mag, but the their correspondent is going to be a part of the press pool, so they're part of the presidential briefings in the White, which has never happened before.
Exactly.
And so the fact that magazines Outsmart are getting to that point.
Yeah, and we're seeing that even in our community, though, with the emergence of Pride Nights and things like that with the Astros and the Rockets and the Dynamo Dash that have Pride Nights already. But Outsmart's kind of weird. A lot of people pick it up and open it backward. Because for years, Dalton's pictures were always in the back, and they wanted to see if their picture was in the magazine. So then in addition to the out there, we now have full pages of event photography. And so that's always been, part of it. How do we connect to our community? And, no longer is it just the bars, and we're trying to celebrate the community involvement and what people are doing, to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars in this community. So, you know, they're a lot of the nonprofits are shrinking, but the ones that are stable, like the Montrose Center is just amazing, and AIDS Foundation Houston, and, you know, hopefully Pride Houston is bouncing back, and we need all these organizations to be strong so that we have a stronger, you know, overall community. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the flip book. Like, we're very much in a digital world these days, so how does Outsmart stay relevant and in the forefront of our minds and fingertips, given one, we're digital, and two, we've all, look at Chris, a certain generation has very limited attention spans.
Right. No, we do offer online advertising and you know, almost to the point where if you guys want to tell your own story, you can create your own content. Sponsored content is a thing that we deal with all the time. We were sort of kicking and screaming late to the party with sponsored e-blasts and also with sponsored content, because, you know, it's like, well, we would never sell our front cover. I did have a influencer ask me how much it was recently, and I actually walked down to the boss and said, throw out a number.
Yeah, give me a number for this.
We didn't, luckily. And there's still things that we just want to make sure that, I always said when my kids were really young, the worst they're going to see in this magazine is a good looking guy without a shirt on. They're going to see way worse on the internet on any given day, right, if they try.
Yep.
So we try to keep it classy. We want to keep our national advertisers advertising. So even on the digital side, you know, luckily, it doesn't cost a whole lot, so that if we can have a viable print publication so that it allows us to create the content for the web, then we're good. You know, when that dynamic changes, we will probably have to pivot again. You know, I would maybe look for some new things for Outsmart. Maybe we take the place of the film festival that doesn't exist anymore. Maybe that's something we can do.
Yeah.
We're getting more and more involved in a lot of live entertainment. It used to be, if it wasn't, you know, Elton John, Cher, Kathy Griffin, you know, we didn't get those shows, or we didn't get to promote. So within the last week, Sarah Brightman, Charlie XCX, Ben Platt, I mean, he's pretty gay, but it doesn't have to be like this big time LGBT only crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if we can start to expand who's paying attention, then that's even better. And we know we're not exclusively LGBTQ red.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be the bulk of who we are. But the ally side is important, and we're still going to be the trendsetters and you know, the where people look for, you know, some new stuff. And as long as we can keep it exciting, we'll be around for at least another 28 years.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I mean, again, talking about a one pager that used, you know, when these types of magazines started, to a 200 page Pride issue. I'm like, what is the word? Issue.
It was on the tip of your tongue. Edition? I saw it.
No, issue. Like, that's just crazy. And I know the pandemic has kind of put a dent into that, but hopefully, better days are ahead.
Yep.
So how did Outsmart kind of navigate through the pandemic? Because I know that a lot of it was distribution to, you know, bars and restaurants and situations like that. If those were closed down for 2-3 months, how did kind of Outsmart navigate through that?
Well, luckily we were able to call on our longtime friends of the community kind of thing. As I told the boss, if they don't call, if I don't talk to them, they can't cancel.
Yes.
and it was amazing. We did have some very good partners, whether it be like Silver Eagle distributors that, you know, took some extra ads. The real estate community did great during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept with us. some of the pharmacies, some of the HEB, mm-hmm. You know, that took extra ads that helped us get through. We were a PPP loan recipient. So, I mean, we just did what we had to. Yeah. Basically, we're in survival mode for about 6 months mm-hmm. until everything the ship righted. And then earlier this year, we saw ad revenues come back to the point where we could at least have a couple of profitable months. And one of the reasons why we look so good right now is that we found a less expensive yet better printer. Mm. So, you know, it forces you to just do some things changes. Differently. Mm. Yeah. So, we just kind of pivoted a little, but didn't get too far away from, you know, what we do best.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned expanding, like maybe having to kind of reimagine some things, but do you think in kind of appealing to a broader audience, but you think again the LGBTQ piece, because I mean some of the complaints is the wrong word, but some of the gripes, we all have equal rights, right? So we get married, right? And so people like me get married and have kids, right? And so we're not out at the bars, and you know, some of that community that was thriving in terms of the bar community and how we got to, how we connected as a community, it's eroding, right? Fewer gay bars, fewer LGBTQ publications. So I mean, you got to survive, but do you still see the LGBTQ plus community as the essence of what Outsmart does?
Absolutely. I mean, and the nice thing is we haven't lost our buying power. We haven't lost our attractiveness as a community that people want to reach. And as they have to get smarter to get their message out there, then you know, we just need to be available to provide the vehicle to do that. It's ongoing. I mean, we have services and businesses that you know, in the past, you know, did you need a gay plumber?
Yeah.
And again, they may not be gay. They just, but everyone has a connection. I mean, I got a call from a guy, you know, my mother-in-law is lesbian. Oh, great. You know,
that's everyone, the plumber that saved our plumbing when we had the big freeze in February.
Yeah. I mean, they're amazing. And we've had, you know, an attorney, you know, his daughter's gay. And we don't know where the entry point is, you know, but it opens up a whole new thing. We didn't have a wedding section in the mm-hmm. past. You know, so as things morph, in general, you know, you're going to see more opportunities, and you just have to stay, you know, flexible and willing to make some changes. And, you know, we're always up for, you know, a good idea. And, we try to, get out there and network and be part of the community. You know, one of the neat things is if we could get back to where all the entertainment folks, I mean, one of the big hits we took during the pandemic from advertising was, you know, no tuts, no stages, no ballet, no mm-hmm. opera. I mean, the gay community is part of that ticket buying base. And, you know, that went away. I lost my, you know, Aquafest cruise lines. I lost, you know, some people who had been with us for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you can tell they hated it. They did not want to go away. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, those industries make a comeback as well. And mm-hmm. that's just going to help us. But especially because we have others that have helped to buoy us up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just to hearing the story of like how you've got all this interest in like people who want to advertise and support this magazine. It's just, it speaks to the history of how these magazines have evolved. And, I mean, it's great to see, that again, how these magazines now celebrate the community. So, and I also look forward to Outsmart, being around for another 28 years and longer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, very good. Well, Jack, we definitely appreciate your time with us today and talking about Outsmart Magazine. I think, again, it's definitely a voice for our community. I know we, as Chris and I know each other from the running group. Well, mm-hmm. that's how we met the front runners here in Houston. And I know we tapped into the Outsmart resources in terms of some of the events that had gone. And then, yes, I think we were featured in a couple of mm-hmm. pictures as well. So, yeah, we were with some of those people who were, you know, flipping, starting at the back section.
And to try and find our pictures.
It was our event there. It was our picture there.
Definitely so. Guilty of that.
But it's cool. I mean, you, like you said, you can pick it up at any of the, not any, but many of the local area restaurants and bars, which is something fun to do. I mean, going to, you mentioned the Barnaby's or other restaurants where it's just there and you kind of flip through it leisurely and read some interesting things about the community. So I would, I mean, again, we've been benefactors as a podcast of this magazine as well. So encourage everyone to continue to support Outsmart Magazine, whether that's picking up a copy or if you're listening online outside of Houston, like checking out their content on digitally at outsmart.com. And you can find out a ton of information about the thriving LGBTQ community in the U.S.'s fourth largest city, Houston, Texas, and the broader metropolitan area. So thank you again, Jack, very much. We enjoyed having you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Anytime.
Well, that was an exciting interview. I love talking to Jack. He's a fun guy to talk to.
Absolutely. It was really amazing to hear, like, how the magazine started, and then kind of like what direction they've gone to, like, grow and then stay around. I mean, they've gone, like he said, they've gone through hurricanes and pandemics and all sorts of flooding in Houston as it is, and they still always bounce back and they're always ready to serve their community. I just thought that was a very powerful interview to have with him.
Yeah, and again, the history of those magazines, right, from, I've said it a couple times, one pagers to like 200 plus pages of like gay content, right? Mm. And it's not just now, it's not, again, talking about where to find good porn or a roommate or a community organizing event. That's like, this is celebrating LGBTQ plus community. So I'm here for it. And Jack, I appreciate him like getting personal with us because he shared his coming out story, which, you know, as a man who got married to a woman and had two kids, like, I'm sure that's, I mean, we hear from Dusty. Dusty always says he's an open book, but I still think you got to kind of go through that every time. So, so I appreciate him sharing that Absolutely. Combo with us.
Yeah, that was an amazing interview. A lot of insight to that. Something that we in the Houston LGBTQ community is blessed with Outsmart.
Yeah. So pick up your Outsmart magazine, read your articles about the LGBTQ plus community in Houston and beyond, because they do talk about other things. You can go back to the March or May 2020 edition and read about Let's Talk About Gay Stuff, because we had a nice spread there.
Centerfold.
Yeah, yeah, centerfold. And yeah, you can check them out online at outsmart.com. So check them out. It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, that was a good interview.
I mean, it has been a year, like we said earlier. 2021 is coming to a close, but I'm very thankful for all the good things that have happened. There are plenty of chaotic things that happen, but, you know, those are just bumps along the road, and we keep looking up, as Casey Musgrave said.
It's the friends we've made along the way.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, not you.
It's Coco. So true. Yeah, we got a new dog too.
Coco.
But yes, it's been fun. It's been a great year. It's flown by, and I'm looking forward to 2022, not 2022. I'm looking forward to 2022. That's
2020
what I'm
yes, honey. 2022.
That sounds like, never mind.
Yeah, no.
It's too close to home. I read it this morning. But yes, thank you for listening to our podcast and kicking with us this week. We're going into, it's not actually year four, but it's, you know, we started in 2019.
Season four.
We went into 2020, 2021, 20. So this is, we're entering the fourth year? Chapter. Fourth chapter. Well, not even season, but I'm saying it's calendar another year. Calendar year. Thank you very much. That's the best way to say it. So that's exciting. So happy to be doing that. Whoa, we just got too meta with Chris.
I'm trying to figure out the math.
It's not.
It's the fourth calendar year.
Yeah, it's like the.
But not the fourth
year. It's year. Only we're only going into. We're still in like the third year. Second
oh, it is
year.
The fourth calendar year.
Yeah, 19, 20, 21, 22. We have come. Wow, this little baby.
That's a lot. Yeah.
She has dementia.
I do.
Yes, this is what happens when you get on the old podcast.
I can't do math.
But you better open that bar quick because you're going to be in it in a minute.
The 30 and up bar.
Oh, I can't even go to that because I'm too old. Well, thanks for listening to our podcast and this up. week.
Where are you lower than that yet older than us?
Yes.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who can't do math.
Thanks for kikiing with us. Not just this podcast episode, but this whole year. Dang it. It has been a year. A special thank you to you, Spencer, for keeping our podcast running and getting You're it welcome. Out every Sunday.
Sometimes later in the Sunday than it's supposed to be.
You said it, I didn't, but thank you for getting
it. I've put it up earlier before, too. I put it up too early.
And you have. But thank you for getting it out. The listeners appreciate it, as do I, as do us, yeah.
as do we.
Listen, it's been a long me and day.
Sponsored by Grammarly Part 2.
It is sponsored by Economy Works. Before we get too long-winded into our goodbyes, right? If you, of course, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Economy Works. Need help with marketing? Hire a freelancer. Need help building a website? Hire a freelancer. Need help with benchmarking and analysis? You can hire a freelancer. Economy Works believes in the power of connection and wants to connect you with its talent network. The Talent Network has over 1,000 years of experience and it's growing in HR, marketing, IT, accounting, and other specialties. Economy Works. When we work, the economy works. You can find out more at economyworks.com. That's economyworks.com. All right, we did it. We did it. We did it. We did it. An episode, a year. It's been fun. I'm so glad to close this season out with this, not season, but this year and episode out with you two homosexuals.
Oh, who's gay?
Wait, this is a gay podcast?
This is a gay thing? I can't.
I thought it was let's talk about not gays.
Girlies.
Let's talk about goy stuff.
Goy stuff.
I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Let's go look it up.
It's okay.
It's been a fun episode, y'all. Where can we find you two? Besides the
at The Gap. I like The Gap. Sephora, sometimes I'm at HEB. Ulta. A lot. I'd probably be at HEB more than The Gap.
Yeah. The Kroger down
at
the
my
street.
House.
My house.
But also on our Spoopy podcast that I hang out there too. That's our Spoopy podcast, bringing you the latest and greatest in horror and the like. True
honestly,
crime.
Honestly, conspiracy theories
conspiracy
right now.
Conspiracy theories for right now. Yeah, so take a listen. That's our Spoopy podcast at ourspoopypodcast.com. Our Spoopy podcast on Instagram, Twitter.
Our Spoopy podcast.
Our Spoopy podcast.
On Instagram.
Instagram. Our Spoopy on Twitter and Our Spoop on Facebook. You could also send us an email at ourspoopypodcast@gmail.com.
Four calendar years and we haven't gotten it right yet.
Send them some love, y'all. All right, well, we did it. Another episode. It was fun. Thank you for listening. And with that, we're here.
We're queer.
Get used to it.